thoughts on the season? How the season went?
Well, obviously disappointed. You know, we fully expect to be there at the end and give ourselves a chance. We had some good moments, and then we just, you know, didn't get enough done within the division. And when you don't do that, it makes it very difficult to make the playoffs. And we had a lot of opportunities. I'm proud of a lot of the guys that stepped up when we had guys go down. There's a lot of positives, but there's nobody in the building satisfied. And so we're all disappointed, and we're looking to get back.
Can you put your finger on the last 2 years, maybe like what, I mean, obviously other than Joe getting hurt in training camp, but yeah. the slower starts in the division?
Well, I mean, last year was hard. Joe was, not himself. Yeah, we were completely a different team because we were trying to make it work and without any mobility really. And he, to his credit, battled through it. But it was a few games before he started feeling like himself, and that's always hard. And we're not designing slow starts by any means. We're trying to get out quick. I think we had some pretty good teams in the early part of the year, and it is what it is. I don't think, having slow starts like we've had, I think it builds a confidence that, all is not lost. I think some teams, after a slow start, believe all is lost, and we never believed that. We were a team that knew we were going to have a chance at the end, and we put ourselves in a position to have a chance at the end. We just didn't finish it.
The way you guys played in that stretch with, I'm going to say from Arizona until Joe got hurt, that five-game stretch, I think. Is that the way? Is that pretty much how you guys see see this team?
Yeah, we believe that when we line up, we're the better team. That's just the mindset of our football team. That's what Zach's instilled in our guys, and our guys know that that we stack up with anybody. And when we're hitting on all cylinders and we're healthy, I think we're a handful for anybody. But we did play well over that stretch, and we were pretty formidable until Joe got hurt.
I mean, it's this 1-5 in the division. I'm not sure how many games you played with him healthy, division games with him healthy. Does that go into the thinking about what's the recipe of the division?
Yeah, even with him, it's a hard lift in the division. Yeah. Every team was excellent, and every team had real the division plays it. One team can be stampeding through the rest of the league, and they struggle in the division. The division knows how to play each other. The division knows how to make games close, and so it's never easy. You could be having a great season, but it's never easy in our division. There's a familiarity that's there that is I think it's good. I think everyone respects our division. I think if you win our division, you should have a pretty good chance of winning the Super Bowl. That's the way we've always believed in it.
Do you think that, it's easy for outsiders to, when you look at the division record, maybe over-rationalize the whole AFC not being physical enough, and then when you don't win as many games in the division, are you guys able to look at, I know you're going to point to the five-game stretch, but, are you able to look at it from a different sample size of when Joe is there, or do you look at it more of, a year, here's the sample of the whole year, and do you feel like you guys were physical and tough enough in the division games?
Oh, we've got to win those division games, and we anticipate and we fully expect to win those division games. And we know it's going to be physical, and our guys know that. Especially the ones that have been around a while, they know exactly what to expect. We're going to face rushers. We're going to face physical play on the outside. We're going to have a physical game in the run area. We know that it never surprises us. you know, we were a formidable team after Joe went out, you know, with the way Jake came in and he started to find his groove and he started to get really comfortable. And we weren't an easy out for anybody, even without our starting quarterback. And I'm proud of that, and I'm proud of Jake, and I'm proud of our coaching staff for making that work. And so that's something to build on, something to have in your pocket. It's something to feel good about. But, again, it's a disappointment not giving ourselves a chance.
Where would you look at what are you trying to improve? Can you break it down into priorities yet, or what do you think needs to get done?
You know, I won't break it down in exact priorities, but there hasn't been a year that we do not want to continue to develop both line of scrimmages, and that's all 32 teams. That's the 31 other teams doing this exact same interview would say we're trying to build the line of scrimmages. That's where the game is won and lost. There's great players on every team that are skill position players, and you need them, and you need guys that make plays in big moments and want the ball in their hands at big moments. But the game's won and lost on the line of scrimmage, and everybody's down here at the Senior Bowl focused on the line of scrimmage. They're focused on the offensive linemen. They're focused on the defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. That's just the nature of the NFL. Those are the guys that are hard to find. You know, you get a rare defensive lineman, and it causes everyone you play to have to rely on their tackles. And if they're not up to it, it's a problem. Yeah. And so you want to be that problem for another team, and you want to be able to solve that problem for yourself. And so you have to be good up front, and that's where it always starts, and it certainly starts there this year.
Seems to be a good – everybody's quote, whoever they is, says it's a good crop of tackles.
Well
– Is it a good crop of tackles?
I'm glad. There's a good crop of linemen. This is an excellent game. You know, Jim Nagy's done a great job of getting the talent in here. And there's guys on both line of scrimmages. There's tackles. There's defensive ends. There's guards. There's centers. There's offensive tackles. Even at the East-West game, there were some guys that were interesting. So there are guys. We've got to pick the right one that fits us the best, and they've got to develop. You know, you only have a few picks. There's 31 other teams picking, and so people disappear pretty quick, and the line of scrimmage disappears faster than anything else.
What about the tackles? The tackles, the way the game has emerged, the way they play the game in college now, and is it harder to project the tackle now maybe than it was four or five years ago?
You're looking for the traits. You're looking for the attitude. You're looking for the intangibles. Mm-hmm. You're looking for the physical qualities. Yeah. You know, and tackles play differently on each team, and there are times when you have, no matter who you have at tackle, and there isn't a tackle in this league that did not get beat this year, period. There's no NFL tackle that did not get beat. There's zero of those, and there's probably zero guys that didn't get beat multiple times. That's just the nature of the defensive end position in our league. There are rare athletes, and you're gonna win. The defensive end is going to win, so you have to be able to help them when needed, and then when you have to rely on them, they've got to win those reps, and so there's a balance there.
It's just such a different game now in college, where it's just always flinging it and pass sets and all that stuff. I guess I don't know if it's
perhaps the ball's out in college a little more, depending on who you're looking at. You know, Michigan might be an outlier, but there are teams that still play more comparable football to the NFL, but it's a wide open game in college, and they're running 100 plays, you know, and that's a different scenario than running 65 or 70 plays.
So you find their traits. You're just trying to rely on traits, I guess.
We want the traits, and we want the intangibles, and so we're really focused on trying to really get to the root of what makes a guy tick and how much he loves the game, and it hasn't changed. Every team's looking for the same thing, but you want guys with the intangibles to grind, and you want guys that fit into the group, and it's not an individualistic position. If you got an individual, you got four guys that don't want that guy in their group. You want a guy that wants in the group and wants to be a part of the group. It's five acting as one, and if they act that way off the field, they're normally not going to suddenly act that way on the field. We want five guys acting as one, knowing what everyone else is doing.
Well, yeah, good segue to talking about tackles. Mm-hmm. A certain tackle last year you guys didn't get a deal done with him, but what do you feel like is the future for Jonah and the Bengals?
Jonah, I thought, played well, made a position switch, gave us a full season. It was impressive. He took to it. He showed that he's versatile, which will play well for him over time. I don't know what the future holds. We'll see. You know, we've got this pie, and whether there's a big enough piece of pie for him or he's going to get a bigger piece of pie somewhere else, we'll have to see. It's hard to predict right now exactly what other teams are going to do and their interest level in any of our free agents. You know, we know how to value our own guys, and we know how to slice the pie up according to what we believe, but we'll see how the rest of the league reacts to that. But we're proud of Jonah for the way he played.
The other two that I was going to ask you about is, I mean, obviously Ted's under contract, but from a depth at center standpoint, is that a position that you guys feel like sooner rather than later you need to address?
I mean, we'll see. We believe in Ted, and Ted's a pretty damn good cog in what we do. He's a leader for us. He's been durable. We think we've got some young guys that can play. They haven't had to play, but we think we've got some younger guys that can play, and we'll see if they continue their development. But we're not going to force a pick at any of those positions just because we feel like somebody is getting towards the end of their career. You know, we think Ted's got some gas left in the tank, and thought he played pretty darn well this year, and he's an important piece of what we do. I was happy to get him, believe me. He fit in great. His intangibles are off the chart, which is great. His tangibles are off the chart. He's big. He's hard to get around. He's the things that we saw, you know, that we wanted. You know, we wanted a guy with some substance to him, both on and off the field, and we got that. So I'm pleased with Orlando. I think as a year enters year two in our scheme and our system with our players, I think he's even going to get better.
On the other side, DJ, someone we know you guys all have a lot of respect for, he said he would love to be back, but he also is very honest about, he knows the business. I mean, first, if it is the end of him, can you speak on just what he was able to do for you guys in his time? And then, you know, like, what do you feel about his future potentially and that defensive tackle position?
Well, I'll never speak in past tense until it is past tense. So TJ's been great for us. He's the defensive Ted Karras. He brings other people along with him. He makes people believe. He holds people accountable. He's a great leader for us, and he's been a really good player for us. It's a shame he got hurt again, and you know, I know that he's going to attack that rehab, and we think he'll be back, and we think he'll be just as good. In terms of financially, what the dollars are and what we're able to pay, that's all to be determined. Do we want him back? Yeah. He's a good player for us. We want all of our good players back. And he's not at the end of his career. So we'll see what happens as we go. But you know, he's an important, has been, and could be a very important part of our team going forward.
Not to play the hypothetical game, but like big year, you guys went to the Super Bowl, Larry, BJ, and DJ, that three really worked for you guys. You saw the results of that. How much do you feel like you might need a third starting defensive tackle caliber player?
Guys to roll through there. And we rolled through guys that had some good moments and that are still young in their career that could develop. Could we add to that group? Yeah. We can always add to that group. You're always looking for pass rush from the interior guys. And whether you get it in the form of a big guy that pushes the pocket or you get it in the form of a quick guy that beats the guard, but you need an interior pass rush to supplement what Trey and Sam and Osai and Miles will be doing on the outside. So, yeah, it's important to us. We'll see.
You've gotten 12 guys out of here. The last five since 2019, getting 12 guys out of here who's still with the team, you know, pretty good, you know, very good picks. Is there something about the game that changed, the Senior Bowl that changed, and will it change now that there's underclassmen?
They're getting good players, and whether they played here or not, I think we get a familiarity with them when they play here, which is important. It's part of the scouting process. You get to see them against maybe guys you don't get to see them against on the college tape. You get to see them live in practice for multiple days, which is something that you don't always get on the college campus. So there are times when you can feel better about guys here, maybe because you've had a longer exposure to them. You know, that's just human nature. And so as long as they keep getting good players like they have and keep showcasing them in the way that they do and how they structure their practices and how they structure their interviews, as long as they keep doing that, it's really worthwhile for us to be down here talking to them, getting to know them. It's an opportunity to be around them, and that's the heart of what we try to do in the scouting area, be around them, get to know them, and then assess whether they're right for us.
I mean, it seemed to kind of change with Nagy a little bit.
Well, Jim's done a great job, you know, getting players in. There's always been, it's always been the kind of the premier talent, you know, all-star game. And continues to really provide guys that you want to look at. Might not always be the top of the draft, but it's the meat of the draft that that is where you have to find guys. You have to stack your team, particularly when you start paying guys at the rate we're paying some of our top guys. You have to hit on those middle rounds, and this is a great opportunity for us to see a lot of those guys.
Speaking of middle rounds, what can you guys do to get more from Joseph Osai when you talk about pass rush?
Well, he's got to get, you know, he's got to maintain his health, one thing. He had a slow start. He was Bruce Smith until he got hurt in the first preseason game of his career. and then he got hurt, and it was a knee, and it was an ankle. I don't know what exactly it was, and the wrist. And he's had, you know, he's been working to get over those. And so that process continues. I think he's starting to blossom. We'll see. You know, the more opportunity that is forced on him, I think the more production we'll get. We'll see how he does. But he's got the traits you want. He's got the speed. He's got the athleticism. I think he wants to be good, and so we'll continue to work with him. I think he's a good piece to have on our team. Whether he can elevate himself up to star status or not, we'll see. Started to really feel comfortable towards the end. Again, you know, we've got two ends that take a lot of the snaps, and so when you have two starting ends that take a lot of the snaps, the other guys get a little less, so it's harder for them to get into the flow. But I think Miles got a good taste of it, and I think he understands what it takes to play effective NFL football now. I know he's really conscientious, and I think he's got a huge upside. It's just a matter for him to do it and grab more of the play time. That's what young guys have to do. They've got to go out and grab more of the play time.
I think Sam still has everything still in front of him. I mean, there was a lot made of how much he had to play this year, and then he told us that he was getting surgery after the season. And just where are you at in terms of Sam being your starter opposite of Trey?
I view Sam as one of the best run stopping defensive ends in the league, and I think late in the season he was just a warrior and played through things that most human beings wouldn't play through, and provide us the opportunity to go out there and have a chance to win, and that's what Sam Hubbard's all about. But Sam Hubbard was never close to 100% late in the season. He was working through things for the team. Mm-hmm. And after he's had the off-season surgery, I think he'll feel a lot better. I think he'll feel a lot more stable. I think he'll revert back to the old Sam Hubbard, to where you can count on him down in and down out to be that. But he was a real warrior this year in how he went about it after his injury.
Dax Hill is that big talking point at the end of the season. I mean, Lou was pretty forthcoming in saying that, you know, they need him to take another step forward, and the communication issues were something that kind of plagued you guys towards the end of the season that never really happened. What do you feel like's the next step for Dax? Do you feel like he's still going to be a safety for the team?
Well, those will be coaching decisions, and you know, the communication issues, you'll have to find that out from all the coaches. You know, I can speak to the player and the talent, and the player is a rare athlete and a rare talent. He's got great speed. He's courageous in the run game. He can close on the football. And, you know, I think the more he sees it, the better he'll get. And I feel great about having him. You know, I think he's a guy that can play multiple roles. But I don't think we want to make him a jack of all, master of none. So we're going to have to decide from the, a coaching standpoint, exactly what we want out of him, and then we're going to make him a great player at that position. And I'm not down on Dax at all. You know, I think he's a rare talent and goes about it the right way.
What do you think he does best?
Speed. Yeah. He's got coverage skills. He's got speed. Yeah, he can get out of the middle of the field and get to the outside go balls. He's got good ball skills. He'll rally and tackle. So he's got the complete skill set. And like I said, I'm not down on him. So, I don't think there's any restriction we can put on him. But, again, we've got to make him a master of one and not a master of all.
This is the first draft, I guess, in the post-Burrow contract era, I guess. I mean, you knew it was coming. Now it's here.
We try hard in every draft, though, Jeff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, if you're getting that, you didn't care about the last drafts, and now you better start caring. We care about them all. Right. Excuse my French. The give a shit meter is still really, really high.
Yeah. And speaking of that, the 23 draft is pretty good. I mean, 23 draft, I think, is an under the radar draft because you've got a guy like Battle comes in. Wins a starting job. A guy like Turner was playing really, played really well in stretches. Yoshivas, Chase Brown, you go through the list. I mean, it looked like you like to hit doubles. Looked like you hit a lot of doubles.
We got guys that can be home runs, as they get to play a little more and get the experience. We want all of our guys to come in and have a role. If there is no role, it's really hard to carry a guy all year. So it might not be a role at the very beginning of the season, but you better damn well get a role as the year goes on. That's what we want. Yeah. Unless there's an injury that takes a guy out, you want to find that role. And it might be a small role, but find the role and do it really well and show that you're progressing. That's what we want in our guys. And, if they can do that the first year, then that's great. Some young guys we're counting on, there might be some guys in this draft that we're counting on a lot. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. But we never hand it to them. They've got to come in and show they can do it, even if they're with the first group. We might put them in the first group. Right. Doesn't mean they're staying there if they haven't shown it.
Right.
They have to go in and show it. And, you have to hit on your draft picks. That's not new. My dad was doing it 50 years ago. So
everybody makes a big deal about the quarterback contract.
Well, you have to hit on your draft picks. That's what makes a good football team year in and year out. You can't buy yourself a good football team every year. There's not enough money to do it.
When do you know you've hit on one? Year two, three, four?
I think by that time, by year three, you want to see the progression. You want to see the guy coming on. The reality of our game is that you have him for 4 years, and then you either have to re-sign him or he goes somewhere else. So you want to get as much production out of him as you can in that first 4 years. And they want to have the most production in that first 4 years. It's financially beneficial to them.
Offense now.
Is that just the defense?
Yeah.
I thought we were talking about the offensive tackles earlier. So,
so now we're going offensive.
Are we going offensive skill?
Yeah, we're going right down the roster.
Okay. We've already done the O-line, right?
We're getting to the special teams. Don't worry.
T, you made a pretty big statement that went viral last year. I know you probably weren't planning to go viral, knowing you. You weren't sitting up there like, I know this quote's going to go viral. But your whole thing about if you want a receiver, like, find your own T. Higgins. Obviously, the deadline to, well, the you can place the tag on him starting middle of February. Do you guys plan to tag T. Higgins?
I don't think I'm going to be breaking any news today. That's my standard line on that. You know, last year T. Higgins was under contract to us. He was a guy that we drafted for that reason, to be a contributor for us. He's not under contract now, and so we're going to have to work through how to do that, and if it's possible. And we'll have to go through the gymnastics of that. And so it's a different scenario than it was last year. You know, trading a high level player that's under contract just because the future might demand it, that's never really on my mind. We'll see what happens this year. I want T. Higgins back. Everyone on our team would like to have T. Higgins back. Again, there's one pie and how big of a slice that takes and what else we can't do because of it, we'll have to determine, and we'll see.
And you can share as much as you want or little on this. The whole, like, tag and trade thing has obviously come up because of it. Do you have a stance on the tag and trade?
I have no public stance on the tag and trade.
Well, since we're talking about contracts, the other one, obligatory, have to ask you, are you hopeful to get a contract extension with Jamar Chase done this offseason?
We'll see. You know, he's eligible for one. Sometimes those happen. Sometimes they don't. I think Justin Jefferson was eligible for one last year. It didn't happen. It could. We like Jamar. We want him for long term. He's in our long-term plans. He's shown that he is a high-level player in this league. We want all high-level players to stay in on our team that we can.
He said that Justin Jefferson would have to get a contract first. That's what we asked him before the end of the season. So,
well, there you go. Then that's the info. That's the info. My side is Jamar Chase, high-level player. We want him to be a Bengal long-term. He's under contract, and we'll see what happens. You know, we want him. Yeah, but, you know, again, there's one pie, and how big of a piece that is affects the rest of the pie, and we'll see.
Not really. Not really. Keep going. Yeah, I'm not – the tight ends don't really enrapture me.
I would anticipate having a tight end under contract.
Yeah, how do you feel about the fact that you have zero tight ends under contract?
I'm going to go on and predict. I'm going to say this. We will have a tight end under contract next year. Yeah.
How do you feel about the – I mean, last year everyone glorified the tight end class. I mean, that was pretty much all the talk about last year, tight ends class.
The draft didn't fall to us to where there was one there that we wanted at the time we were picking. We liked a lot of the guys. It didn't happen. You know, we'll see what happens this year. You know, I know we don't have any under contract right now, but we'll work through that. I think we've got some guys that played for us last year that showed that they have a future with the Bengals, and we'll see if we can get them back. And then we'll try to supplement, and whether it's a supplement in free agency, which we've done in the past, or whether it's a supplement in the draft, we'll see how that breaks.
Of your running back position.
Yeah. I thought Joe had a good season this year. And I think we found a young guy that shows some electricity, that has speed and will be able to factor a little bit in the receiving game. So I think we've got some guys there that we trust. We've got some guys that have been around maybe a little longer that showed that they can fill niches and roles, which is good. We'll never turn down a guy that, you know, we think is a real guy there. And it's to be determined how the running back shakes out as we go. But we think we've got some talent there as we sit right now.
I was going to ask you about the slot. I mean, it's Tyler's been such a great player for you guys, so prolific. He's up, piece of the pie. It's only so much. Is there anybody in the roster who you think could emerge to perhaps?
We'll see. We've got some young guys on the roster that can take a step. We haven't ruled out Tyler coming back. Tyler's been a great player for us. He's been a team leader for us. He's always been, from the day he walked in the door, a go-to guy at crucial moments. Those are hard to find. You don't get that answer down here at the Senior Bowl. Will this guy be the go-to guy when everything is needed? That emerges once they're with you. And that emerged early on with us. And it was great to see. It really was great to see how Tyler, you know, became the main target for us. Whether that continues or not, he's a free agent. We'll see. Do we have guys on the team that we like? Yeah, we do. Could we add to that? We're always looking to add a wide out. I mean, that's a position like offensive line, defensive line. There's so many of them on the team. You want guys always coming on. We've got guys on the practice squad we kind of like that could come on. And, you know, so if we can hit on a draft choice, we'll do that. That's a position that we've been pretty successful finding, you know, both early in the draft, middle rounds, and late. That's something that we feel like we can find. There's a lot of them. There's a million of them. You just got to pick the right one, and we think we've identified the right one so far.
You hugged him after the last game. It was pretty. That was a pretty good moment in the locker room.
Yeah, TB means a lot to me. Yeah. You know, he's a scout's success story, mm-hmm. and he's meant a lot to our team. And you know, I've got a ton of regard for him.
How did you feel like in the games he was healthy, Joe played this year? I skipped the most important position so far.
Bro?
Yeah.
When he was fully healthy and had everything at his disposal, he was Joe Burrow. You know, when he felt comfortable enough to take off, to extend a play. If you look at the teams that are still playing, you know, they extend plays. There's the script and then there's the off script, and you have to have both to be ultimately successful in this. And when Joe had that ability, he had his ability back, we were pretty darn dynamic, and it was good to see. But you know, I think Joe is the top of the league. I think he can process faster than almost any quarterback, and I think he can run a lot of different things very effectively. You know, he's the type of quarterback you could put in almost anyone's offense, and he's going to run it effectively. There's not a lot of guys like that. There's things that he prefers to do and that our coaching staff prefers to do that he's really good at, and, you know, we're going to try to major in those things. But he's such a versatile player. When he has everything at his disposal, it's pretty darn tough.
I was just going to ask you about a couple more things, but I guess I'll finish the roster with the special teams guys, right?
Yeah.
Don't want to leave them out. Evan, I contract eligible, and do you guys, I assume, want Evan?
We'll see how it goes. Yeah, Evan's a guy that's, you know, we thought we were getting a good one, and then as soon as he was here, we knew we had a good one. So that's great, you know, problem solved, and we'll try to have a long-term relationship with him. I've heard about his brother. I haven't scouted him personally. And then the punting thing, you know, I think we had a little bit of ups and downs with Brad. I think he had some good games. He started showing some signs. You know, the thing you never notice about Brad, perhaps one of the most important things that happens on our team, is the holds. And the fact that Evan did not take a step back because Brad was so solid as a holder. That's an incredibly important part of what a punter does. We're trying never to punt. We don't want to use our punter. But our holder, we want to use all the time. And so the better off you are on offense, you know, he's going to be holding more than he's punting. And he was sensational as a holder. There was it was seamless, and it was great to see.
Two more. Pitcher, you've known him for a long time.
Dan was he's kind of a victory for all scouts out there, because that's where he started. And he came on and he transitioned to coaching. He developed. He took advantage of every opportunity he had. He got, he achieved at every level that he was supposed to achieve at. He endeared himself to multiple staffs, which is hard to do. He became a vital part of what we were doing on offense. That's what we want. We want guys to develop, and then it's a smooth transition. You know, and if he wasn't our offensive coordinator, he would be somebody else's right now. That's the brutal truth about it. He's good, and we're fortunate that he elected to stay and wants to continue with us. And, you know, that's what you really want, is you want to develop guys that you believe in, you know, you trust, and you know what to expect. And so I'm proud of Dan, and, you know, I feel good at, you know, who's, you know, with the offense in his hands. I really do.
We asked Zach a lot throughout the season about just like how challenging the season was for him because of Joe and, you know, constantly having to maybe, you know, change plans on a whim. From the guy who's in charge of the roster, how was this season for you? Did it test you in new ways? Do you feel like you grew from it? Like, from your perspective with what happened with Joe and some of the other things. Then, I mean, going back to, like, getting the contract with Joe done. I mean, like, how has this year been from your perspective?
Well, they haven't, you know, I don't have the week-to-week game plan to worry about. That's Zach and all of our coaches. And I know it was very difficult because you never know exactly how much you can put on, you know, a guy that's hurt and how much you can't. And so they had that balancing act, and I appreciate that that was very difficult. And I think they did a great job trying to navigate through it. You know, in terms of what I learned is you have to be deep. I didn't learn it this year, but you always have to be deep. And you've got a 53-man roster. It doesn't allow for every position to be backed up with another starter. You know, you have to have guys that you didn't believe were starters that develop. And so that's what the scouting community always does, is try to find the next guy. Even though things are going great at the starting level, try to find the next guy. With 32 teams and 22 starters on every team, there's not a ton of guys. It gets pretty thin pretty quick. And so you've got to find the traits in a guy that are raw. And you've got to say, this guy can do this. It's going to take a little bit. We got to work with him. But I think he can do this. That's what makes scouts tick. That's what scouts want to do. They want to find the thing that people are overlooking and say, he can do it. And so that's what the challenge is, you know, when you get to the fifth, sixth, seventh round, the guys that have been overlooked, college free agency, what trait is there and can we develop it? And then you got to have coaches that are willing to develop it and good at what they do, which we do. So that's our focus.
Did you end the year feeling good about that depth, even though you didn't make it to the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, I do feel good about a lot of the depth that had to go in and play. I think guys started to step up. I think guys were ready for the opportunity when they stepped up. So there's areas that I think we needed more depth. And we might not have had the answer we ultimately needed, but we'll see. I mean, it's hard to have. good luck with that question. It's hard to have, you know, somebody at every position. You know, you got 16 practice squad guys, but realistically, all 16 of those guys are not ready to come on. Some of them are there for the following year and the year after that, and you hope they develop over time.
Battle was, you know, tournament was good. Battle was good.
I mean, yeah. Those guys were.
What?
They had to play.
And they did.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, look here, Jeff. If they don't play, you finish. Starting the quarterback on
down,
you finish 6-11.
Yeah. I don't put it on injuries. Every team has them. That's the thing. And you have to overcome them. Some of them are more critical than others. Some of them affect your team more than others. Some of them are at pieces that you kind of build around more than other teams' injuries. But every team has injuries. And you have to find ways to work through it. And that's the challenge for the scouting department, is to give us ways to work through injuries when they come. It's not if, it's when.
Very kind of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.